You are listening to Words from the Servants, a podcast produced by the Servants of the Word, an international ecumenical brotherhood of men living single for the Lord. You can download this podcast from our website or access it on iTunes or any other podcasting apps.
I am here with Anthony Lamas. Anthony has just returned from a year in the Philippines, and I got a chance a couple days ago to interview him and hear a little bit how his year went there.
So you graduated from university and then you decided to take a year out. How did that come about and how did you decide to go to the Philippines?
Yeah, it's a good question. Just my walk through college for sure, I think prepared me to make that decision. My walk with UCO, UCO wasn't, for sure, it wasn't always like the easiest thing for me. You know, it required like a lot of commitment and it required a lot of challenge. And I think that's one of the best and most beautiful things about UCO. I mean, of course I'm biased, but I think it's one of the best things UCO does is provides depth. And that's what it did for me. You know, it really pushed me to the limits and really pushed me to die to myself in a lot of ways and, you know, really just change to be a better man of God. And so I think by the time I came to my senior year, was approaching the beginning of that, you know, that was definitely on the table. I already seen one of my best friends, David Dolson, go there. And so that kind of came onto my mind, was like, you know, how can I best serve the Lord? Not necessarily just like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I've seen these other men, you know, come before me and do it. Like, look at how they've turned out. You know, that was definitely stuff that I thought about. But really, I think the question presented to me by those men, you know, by men like Steve Clark, was, Anthony, how are you going to best serve and know the Lord? And so I think, you know, once I asked that question, it actually wasn't too hard of a decision. Not that I have anything against working or going into the corporate world. That's definitely, you know, a desire of mine as well. But when I truly got down to the heart of it and asked that question, I just said, I think I got to take a mission year abroad somewhere.
Why Manila?
Yeah, so when I talked to John Yoakum, you know, we had a couple options on the table, whether it be Costa Rica or, you know, Mexico, Monterrey, and the Philippines. And so, yeah, that was like kind of what it narrowed down to. There were various reasons. I'd say one was definitely, I'd mentioned my mom was Filipino. Yeah. So that definitely, I think, just had a pull. My mom still has a sister there as well, living there. We just hadn't been back. And I think as well, for the men and women out there that know Jerome Keering or JR, you know, that was something he'd always kind of put on my mind when he was here in the States in training and I was in households with him. You know, he'd always say, like, I think the Philippines would suit you well, just given your temperament, given your personality, you would do well, like, in the Philippines. And as well, just lastly, is David Dolson, hearing about his experience, you know, him coming back and telling me all these things about, you know, the masses, the huge community that they have, this crazy kind of, like lifestyle they have with their community. It's incredible. And him just saying, but like at the end of the day, you have to see it for yourself.
So give us a rundown. So you went roughly from September to May or something?
August to June. August to June, yeah.
And you live, where did you live?
So I lived in one of the three Brotherhood houses. Okay. So Ipil House, which is very close to the Tobias House, for those that are familiar.
And what did you do? What did you do the whole time? I
mean, yeah.
A particular job or?
For sure. So it was my first year as a residential affiliate. So just in terms of jobs, I guess you could kind of say it was just getting more situated with the Servants of the Word life. You know, not being full in terms of like going into training and whatnot, but still like getting a fair taste of that.
So, life.
So there's some responsibility there. Definitely just going through like the Psalms course, having our study, you know, and just certain house responsibilities with chores and such like that. But in terms of like campus worker ministry, spent a lot of time with their CYA there. And so I was with CYA, QC Hub is what they call it.
And any sort of exotic experiences to recount, either exotic places you went to, interesting stuff you ate that probably most Americans wouldn't know,
or
a cultural event or something like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure necessarily where to start this fair amount. I think the first day I was there, not even the first day, the first like couple hours, they had me eat balut. For those not familiar, it's just basically like it feels like it's a few days away from being like a hatched egg. Yeah, so like the embryo, like the bird
is pretty much half egg.
Yeah, it's like it's formed, like you can you see the actual body and everything. So I would say for the most part, especially maybe for like Americans, that's pretty exotic. I'd say other than that, with exotic places, that's definitely hard to list. The Philippines is beautiful. I think it's sometimes very easy maybe to forget that just when you're in the city, especially in Manila. There's a crazy amount of traffic. You know, it's going to take you 2 hours to get you know, 5 to 10 miles, wherever it is, it could be a really long time. But once you get out, it's incredible. You know, it's kind of what you see in TV or on TV in movies and stuff like that. Even just vacationing with the brothers, we got to go to some incredible places that are maybe more remote as well. I was very fortunate enough to go to India, go to Malaysia, Singapore, South Korea, Italy on my way home. So yeah, I really just got to see like a lot of cool things that I'm very grateful for, just really able to embrace the culture.
And what were some of your biggest challenges during the year?
Yeah, there's definitely a fair amount. I did say that everyone speaks English, so it's not like too hard to converse, but my experience is that like when you're actually conversing versus just like kind of maybe like sharing like surface level things, if you're trying to have a deep conversation, it can get kind of hard just because maybe the way we articulate our thoughts with certain words is different than how they would use their words. So just stuff like that, trying to go deeper sometimes is kind of hard. I think as well, maybe just like humor, sometimes that can be hard as well. It's just a cultural thing. Filipinos really like puns. Stuff like that, you know, it can be challenging at first, but over time, you know, I think it's just like anything else with any traveling where you're actually getting submerged or like immersed in it.
And what were some of the key learnings for you, both sort of humanly, but also for your vocation, for your service, for your life? Were there some lessons that you're taking from this year?
I spent a lot of time reading, to be honest. You know, that may be just like a very simple thing, but for a guy such as myself who just keeps active, it's actually just something I really needed to learn, was how to be alone and how to read, honestly, how to read well, how to just think, how to pray better, reflect more. And yeah, not even just like scripture reading, but I'm talking about like things like C.S. Lewis and G.K. Chesterton, you know, Charles Colson, like any of these books that the brothers are just throwing at me there. Brother Raul, Brother Roncal, was just a great proponent of that. He was always just giving me more stuff and asking me questions and just feeding me on that. So awesome. I would say that was huge. I think as well, just learning that busyness doesn't automatically equal productivity. That's actually something that I learned a lot on, that you don't need to be busy to be productive. I think it can seem like, oh, I'm doing all these things, so I must be doing something good.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually being intentional and actually thinking about, okay, how I should be using my time. Like in some ways that I actually need more simplicity in my life rather than trying to add more things. And so I think, yeah, all those things kind of go back to the self-discipline or self-mastery I was really trying to focus on.
So what's happening to you now? Now you're back and obviously you've eaten a lot of your mom's cooking again.
Yeah, a lot of just multiple mothers' cookings, I would say, getting to a lot of just like friends, family meals, and that's been great. So yeah, I think through that experience of being in the Philippines, through all those things that I've mentioned, one thing leaving out as well, through all the opportunities that JR gave me to public speak and sharpen, that was another big practical skill I was able to just kind of hone in on. After all those things, I just felt like there was no way that I could just kind of like have that experience, have that just completely like godly experience, and then say, I'm out. I think it was during our Lenten discernment process, there was no doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. God was saying to me, you know, you got to take another year, you know, maybe not certain about the years to come, but we can be certain about the year returning. And that's to go back to the U.S. and go back and do UCO campus ministry. It just kind of made the most practical sense to be doing UCO mission work here at a campus that I attended.
So you'll be a staff worker here at the University of Michigan?
That's correct, yeah. So I'll be here on the UCO Ann Arbor team.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So tell us in closing, what are the three things we can pray for you for this next year?
Yes. Well, one, honestly, just fundraising. That's what I've been spending a lot of time on. I just got back 2 weeks ago, and so my window to fundraise is a little smaller than maybe some of the other UCO missionaries, so I could really use a lot of prayer in that area. I think secondly would be to, of course, like preach the gospel and not be like hesitant in that, but preach the gospel well and effectively. Be strong in the relational aspect, but ask the important questions. Have the courage to ask the important questions and push when needed to. I think lastly, I would just ask for prayer for my vocation as a servant of the word. I really, really, I can't state this enough. I really, really appreciated and really needed that experience of servants of the word life in another region and being exposed to it. And I think after I had this great experience with the brothers in the Evil House, with guys like Brother Jim Orbe and Brother Francis and Brother Arul, all these guys, there was no doubt in my mind I had to come back and live that out here and go deeper and go into training and kind of give my life more fully into the vocation. But I think always just could use prayer for that, to continue to just be open to whatever it is that God is saying to me, and just trying my best to work through that and discern when it's time to discern, but also just be focused on the work that God has me at that time, and you know, not to just try to be caught.
This podcast was produced by the Servants of the Word,
what God's been calling me to,
Brotherhood of Celibate Men, that is part of the Sword of the Spirit and International Ecumenical Network of Covenant for All the Reentry. For similar and other content, visit us on servantsoftheword.org. If you liked what you listened to, please leave us a review on iTunes.